I said, I need a job in 2 weeks. I have nothing lined up. And she said, cool, we'll see you in 2 weeks. And I started work as an RN. So I went from being a doctorally prepared nurse practitioner to now being a bedside nurse within, you know, thinking I had this grand plan, you know, and now I'm like, oh no, I'm going back to bedside nursing because that's what's allowing me the flexibility right now. So I took the PRN nursing job, and I'll be honest with you, I had a blast working as a nurse again, because it's just something about that weight that comes off as you're just going back and you're just taking care of people.
Yeah.
It was just a different vibe.
Yeah.
I found such camaraderie with the nurses again.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember not feeling so alone, like when you feel sometimes as a nurse practitioner. But it was just such a breath of fresh air to go back.
Hey there, I'm your host, Sarah Lorenzini, a rapid response nurse and educator who loves telling stories to teach critical thinking. This podcast is for nurses who want the knowledge, skills, and confidence to respond to any emergency. With almost 20 years of experience in the ER and critical care nursing, and a master's degree in nursing education, I have a lot of stories to share, and I love to nerd out and break down the pathophysiology, pharmacology, and nurses' role in emergencies. Stories bring learning to life. It is way easier to learn from and remember the stories that my colleagues and mentors have told me than anything I've read in a textbook. And that is why I made this podcast. Every episode is packed full of exactly what you need to know to handle whatever crisis that could arise on your shift. It's one thing to get the right answer on the test, but knowing how to detect when your patient is declining and what to do when your patient is crashing is what will make or break your day and might just save your patient's life. Welcome back to the Rapid Response Nurse Podcast. Today, I'm super excited to have my friend, Sandra Pagenta, DNP, joining in the podcast studio. Sandra, welcome.
This is incredible. What a treat. This is gold in so many ways. Thank you. What you've created here is just wonderful. I'm so happy to be able to experience it.
Thanks.
And this is awesome. Thanks for
so
having me.
So glad to have you. So I have to tell you guys just a little backstory, how I met Sandra. So Sandra's a nurse practitioner. We live in the same town, and we did not know this. So I'm working a rapid response. I'm teaching a new grad about what's happening. And then the doctor says to the new grad, hey, do you know about Sandra's podcast? You should check it out. And then the phlebotomist says, what? You have a nursing podcast? I was like, oh, yeah, I do. She goes, my neighbor has a nursing podcast. And I was like, what? There's another nurse podcaster in my city? We must be friends.
Yeah.
So I went home that night and I messaged you and I was like, hi, Sandra, I would like to be your new friend. Basically, that's what I said.
And I was like, yes, sign me up. Where? Yeah, such a neat story. And again, I think that same night, ironically, I was coming home from doing something with the kids and she ran across the street to tell me. I just recently was told me that exact same story and that she was in some code or something. And she's like, Sarah is amazing. You're going to love her. And so I was like, oh my goodness. And then I saw your message and it all just serendipitously
came together. I'm so grateful to have you in my life.
Neat. Me too.
So I'm doing this podcast episode. It's a little different than my normal podcast. Usually I share a nursing story and break down the path of phys, but my goal is to serve the nursing community. And I get so many messages from nurses asking me, I want to go back to school. Should I go back and become a nurse practitioner? Should I go back and be an educator? Should I go back to leadership? Should I go back and be a CRNA? I'm like, I can't tell you what you should and shouldn't do. I've only done one track. And so I'd like to do a series where I interview nurse practitioners and nurse educators, like all the things, all the different graduate degrees, and hear from you, like, what do you think? Should they go back to school? So that's what we're talking about today. Should you go back and become an NP from Sandra, who is an NP? Okay, so let's dive in. Sandra, before we start, can you just talk about what drew you to becoming a nurse? And then why did you end up doing nurse practitioner?
Yeah. So to kind of give a little backstory, I am an adult nurse practitioner. I've been an adult nurse practitioner since 2012. While I was at the graduation for the master's degree, I knew immediately I was going back for the DNP at some point. So I took a year and then went back for my doctoral degree in nursing. It just didn't feel complete without just getting the DNP. So I became a nurse because I really wanted to be in healthcare. I wanted to be an MD. I thought I wanted to be a doctor. I just always had that desire to help people. And I thought, I can only satisfy that through being a medical doctor. I remember sitting under the architecture building with my mom and she telling me, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to be in healthcare. And she said, well, why not? And she goes, you've always wanted to be a doctor. Why not that? And then I said, well, mom, I don't think the lifestyle is super great of a physician, especially for women. And so she goes, well, then why not a nurse? And that really started kind of me in, you know, figuring out maybe this is something that I would enjoy. And then hearing about the nurse practitioner role in my bachelor's degree program. So as I heard about it and I realized, oh, wait, I can be a nurse, I can be an MD kind of, but then also not have, you know, the crazy lifestyle and or the debt. So that's really the appeal for me when I was in my bachelor's degree program to pursue the master's degree almost immediately. Gotcha. Because I knew it was something that, again, would allow me to function in that role that I've always kind of idolized as a child. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you saw yourself as someone who's providing care, making the healthcare decisions for patients.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, the NP track can get me there and afford me the lifestyle that I've kind of always wanted.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome.
To be a present, you know, a present person and not feel like, I feel like I saw MDs just really having to just commit to the field with their complete, with their total life. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't seem like something appealing to me at that time.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you graduated with your bachelor's, and then what bedside nurse role did you have initially?
Yeah. So I was initially a med-surg nurse. It was kind of tough for me, I think, to be a bedside med-surg nurse. I think I would have been better suited maybe in a surgical role, just the way that I process things. It was a tough transition for that with my very first nursing job and made it very, very apparent that I wanted to definitely go back for that master's degree. And so maybe a little bit of running in that mm-hmm. sense from the bachelor's degree running towards that master's degree. But again, it was still something that I've always liked even mm-hmm. before. So it really wasn't a running, but it kind of was.
Gotcha.
You know?
Gotcha. So you worked med-surg for a bit, got that master's degree. And then what roles have you held since you've had your graduate degree?
So with my first graduate degree, I was a GI nurse practitioner. And in that job, I really took it. And the best picture I can paint for you is almost like a dance card and going to the dance and just being glad somebody signed your dance card, right? You heard so many nurse practitioners that were struggling to find jobs. They would go to master's degree programs and then come out and can't find a job. So I was just glad somebody signed up for my dance card and I took the job immediately. I didn't do any soul searching. What do I really want to do? What are my passions? What am I interested in? I was just like, somebody wants me, I'll take you, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how that job was. It was a great job in the sense of it was great coworkers. I had great coworkers. I liked what I was doing. But yeah, that job definitely taught me a lot and led me to kind of more what my next role was.
Okay. And then what'd you end up doing?
I ended up actually getting laid off. I was fired. And for the nurse practitioner, that's like, what? You got fired? How was that? It was awful and then super great, right? So in the moment, I just thought my life is falling apart. I'm in the middle of my thesis. I'm doing all this work to get my doctoral degree and my job is letting me go. And I could not believe as my boss pulled me into the office, tears in his eyes, basically like, you've done nothing wrong. We just don't have the money in the budget for you next year. I was speechless. Like, how can this be happening? I've done nothing wrong. I've not been a disciplinary issue, you know, these type of things. So it ended up being the biggest blessing in disguise. There's this great book called Who Moved My Cheese? And basically my cheese as a little mouse in a maze was moved and I had to go find a new source of cheese, right? Mm-hmm. And to be honest, the cheese was getting stinky and moldy and it needed to be moved, but I was just accepting that it was cheese and it was something to eat, right?
Yeah.
And so by forcing me, and he did this with about 4 months until the end of my contract. So he told me well in advance, and he said, I will write you whatever recommendation to help you into your next role. I began to look for new jobs. Mm-hmm. And I began to do a little of the soul searching that I didn't do at the beginning, mm-hmm. right? And I went, what lights me up inside? Actually, why am I getting fired? And the reason why I'm getting fired is because I'm not making enough and generating enough income with my degree, right? As a nurse, you're an item on the cost list and you get paid. As a nurse practitioner, you're an income generating provider. Mm-hmm. So if you aren't generating your income, you're getting removed, right? Mm-hmm. And so that little, you know, jolt of, whoa, this is a completely different role. And when I thought this was what I thought was covered is actually not the case. I'm asking different questions now with these new roles, and I'm actually moving in a more educated, empowered space to go, I think I want to do procedures, because if I do 5 procedures a day, I know that I made the amount of money I needed to make to cover me. So you can't, like, it just helped me understand really what I'm after, right? And so, yeah, I ended up seeking out jobs that were going to be heavy procedurally based jobs. And I was able to get a job just doing, which I remember when I was getting laid off, I remember asking him, like, can you teach me how to do colonoscopies or sigmoidoscopies? They do them out in California, the nurse practitioners and the PAs. And he's like, no, we won't teach you how to do that. And so I went off and found a job that would teach me how to do procedures. And so that's what I learned how to do. I learned how to do biopsies for urology, prostate biopsies, cystoscopies. It was pretty much all that I got to do was just procedures.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about your actual NP program. How would you say that the nurse practitioner training compares to the bachelor's training as far as like difficulty and the schedule and the complexity?
Yeah. So as the nurse, you're taking orders. Mm-hmm. As the nurse practitioner, you're giving them, right? So it's a different training. When you're the nurse, you're assessing. You're trying to figure out like what is going on here. You're relaying that information back in a succinct way to the provider. When you're the nurse practitioner, the training is different in the fact that you go from kind of learning how to assess, learning how to anticipate what's going to be happening, to now doing all of that. And now the next steps, which is ordering, you're diagnosing, you're figuring out, all right, I need to get these tests lined up. What do these tests mean? Okay, and what do you do with the meaning of these tests?
Right.
It's a different vibe, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And so things become rote and you start to kind of pick up themes and you get good about being like, all right, we got to do this next. And this algorithm is how I process these things. These clinical guidelines are here to help direct my, you know, decision making. But that takes time to kind of get into that mindset of sitting back a little bit as the nurse, but now moving, no, this is the next step forward. I'm now making these decisions and putting in these orders. It's empowering, but it's also very humbling,
right?
So it's kind of that balance of both.
Do you feel like the course load was much more difficult or similar to bachelor's degree or just different?
It's just different. Okay. It's just different, right? And so, yeah, it's not any harder. Nurses are really, really smart and they're super capable. So for the most part, I just feel like it's just work. You got to power through it. And you got to get it done. And so that part we're good at. I think the part that really becomes the kind of the crux in it is really determining, is this something that you really want to do for your career? I think that's really more the bigger overarching question. It's not if you can do the work.
Yeah.
Is if, why are you doing the work?
Right. We've talked before about how even after you'd become a nurse practitioner, you ended up going back to the bedside for a little stint. Can you talk a little bit about that experience, like the transition to NP and then having to go back and be at the bedside again? Like, how was that experience for you? What did you learn from it?
So I told you that I lost my job. And when I didn't have a job, I took a job. I was like, I'm going to take this job in Jacksonville. I'm going to move. This is a great job. It was going to pay me $50,000 more almost than I was making. And I was like, this is incredible. I can't believe I was getting so underpaid at this last job. Again, who moved my cheese? And thank God you did, you know? Mm-hmm. And so while I was doing this, my dad had kind of given me some really sage advice. And he was like, so are you looking at the quality of life for these nurse practitioners? And so while I was finishing my doctorate, I needed a little more clinical hours. So I said, could I get my clinical hours at this job that I'm taking? This was the best move ever. If you can shadow where you're going to take a job, it's a total game changer, because I got to see the cracks, right? Mm-hmm. The nurse practitioners were like, I haven't been able to go to the doctor. I'm so busy. I'm so worn out. And all these things started to become very apparent at this other job. So I decided last minute to turn down that job because I knew that the lifestyle was just not going to be what would be good for me. And I had to find work because I went from having a job lined up when my other job ended to now not having anything. And this is why choosing nursing and choosing this career is the best decision you can possibly do, because I literally walked down the hall when I was working at my GI job that was ending. I walked into the room and I said to one of the nurse recruiter, I said, I need a job in 2 weeks. I have nothing lined up. And she said, cool, we'll see you in 2 weeks. And I started work as an RN. So I went from being a doctorally prepared nurse practitioner to now being a bedside nurse within, you know, thinking I had this grand plan, you know, and now I'm like, oh no, I'm going back to bedside nursing because that's what's allowing me the flexibility right now to make a better decision with my job, not just taking anything because my dance card was filled. No, I was taking something because this is what I wanted to do, not because I felt like I needed to. So I took the PRN nursing job, and I'll be honest with you, I had a blast working as a nurse again because it's just something about that weight that comes off as you're just going back and you're just taking care of people.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm calling a doctor and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I think you got to do something about this. You know, it was just a different vibe than the feeling of, oh no, I got to do something about this. Wait, what are you telling me? You know, so it was just, it was actually very relieving. It was actually a breath of fresh air. And I found such camaraderie with the nurses again. And I just remember not feeling so alone, like when you feel sometimes as a nurse practitioner. But it was just such a breath of fresh air to go back. And to be honest with you, I actually straddled working as a nurse a little bit longer than I had to because I so enjoyed it. And so they were like, are you like, don't you have something else lined up? I was like, yeah, but I really like
this. This is so fun. Yeah, there is something really special about like just the team approach that comes into being a bedside nurse. Like you really can't do it by yourself. You're so reliant on your, you know, your buddy down the hallway to help you when your patient pooped. And like, you know, there's just so much teamwork. And that is really, really is fun. Special. Like I can handle anything if I got a good team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Agreed. For sure. So, okay. So you worked as a bedside nurse for a little while. You finally got your NP job. And then now you're doing urology. Yes. With a lot of procedures.
Yes. Great. So great.
And then how has that been what you were looking for? Like what makes your new role different than the one that was more frustrating for you?
Yeah. So I think whenever I was reaching out for this urology job, what I was really looking for was that work-life balance and realizing that I had not prioritized that before. I was now in the mindset of thinking, I know what I'm generating income-wise. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm productive and I can never be in that situation ever again, right? So that's how this role was very different. On top of the fact that the population changed for me and it was one that was actually very near and dear to my heart. And so it was just easier to care for these people, right? And so I liked the population. I liked what I was doing. And then I liked my work-life balance. No call, no weekends. These were things that I realized were very important that I wouldn't have had at the job that I was turning down. That I began to realize, no, I don't think that my nervous system, my, you know, biology is really made for these things. Yeah, I want to be a total BA nurse practitioner that's cutting and doing all this stuff. But maybe, Sandra, by kind of doing a little bit of soul searching, you're saying that's really not what you're made of. And that's okay. We need all types in healthcare.
Yeah.
So I really began to see that this was more aligned with what I was good at. And I just flourished in it. I enjoyed it. And it didn't feel like work. It felt like something that was almost like we call like ikigai. It's a Japanese saying where you're in your flow. You're in the space where you are doing something that you love, you're doing something that it helps the world, and then you can get paid for it. It really did feel like that was the spot that I found with urology.
That's
just calming down, not taking the first thing out of panic and anxiety, but moving out of strength, moving out of, you know, a clear mind. Because I had that nursing job that was like, I was like, listen, I'm not going to go hungry. I'm going to keep working as a nurse until I find the thing that really lights me up as an NP.
Yeah. What a gift that we have that flexibility in nursing. Like we'll never be without a job.
Never.
At least not for more than 2 weeks.
Yes. 2 weeks is a litmus test. 2 weeks.
So what would you say to someone who's considering going to MP school? Like what should they be thinking about? Mm-hmm. What questions should they be asking? What should they be like weighing out right now if this is something that they're considering? Hey guys, I'll get back to the episode in just a second, but I wanted to pause to let you know that if you love my podcast, but wish there were more of these awesome episodes, well, I have great news for you. There is more. My Rapid Response Academy is basically podcast 2.0, plus the huge added bonus of community. I love hosting this podcast, but it's just me recording into a microphone often by myself. And this extroverted gal who loves to both teach and mentor nurses just wanted more.
So in the community I created, I get to teach live every Friday and break down topics that I think every nurse needs to know. From deep dives into the pathophys of every emergency you can think of, to some of the heart of nursing topics as well, like how to advocate with confidence for your patient, how to de-escalate situations, how to deal with bullies on the unit, how to be an amazing preceptor and charge nurse, and some of the mindsets and boundaries that have helped me stay in nursing for the last 20 years, not burn out, and thrive at the bedside. I love the opportunity to answer your questions live, and it's such a joy to see nurses supporting each other in this community. So if you're an acute care nurse that wants to expedite your growth as a nurse and invest in yourself so that you can provide the best care to your patients, you would love my Rapid Response Academy. So to learn more, I put a link in the show notes for you. Hope to see you there.
So what I love, and I talk a lot about this on my podcast because I've interviewed a lot of nurses and nurse practitioners, begin with the end in mind is what I've really kept hearing in all the conversations I was having. And the reason why that's important is because if you think about where you want to go, if you are picturing a vision, you move differently as you make decisions.
Yeah.
Right. And so in a lot of ways, I didn't think that way through my career. And I really regret it. So one of the things that I highly recommend for a nurse to do is to kind of paint what you think your picture of your life you want. I mean, to the minute. Think about when you wake up on a Tuesday morning, what'd you wake up? Did you wake up to your alarm or did you wake up on your own because the birds were outside? Mm-hmm. Where are you? Where are you living? What does your house look like?
Yeah.
You know, I really think that if we really narrow down what it is that we think looks like living, then we can then make decisions with our nursing career that support that, right? And so that would be one of the things I would recommend, just thinking about what is it that you want your life to look like? Mm-hmm. Start with the end in mind and then work your way back from there. How do I get from this one decision from today? Is that working me towards that final vision? That would be where I would start, to be honest with you.
Okay. And then are there certain attributes or ways that someone needs to be wired to thrive as a nurse practitioner that maybe that might be different than a bedside nurse?
We need all types. And so I actually don't think there are like a set of attributes that you need. I think everyone's got something to bring. I think that's, again, the beauty of the tapestry of nursing, right? Is that everybody's different. And so I think whatever it is that you're good at and you enjoy, bring that. Like, whatever it is that you're good at, bring that. Don't hide it. Don't try to, you know, that's not who I am. No, if that's how you are, we need that here. So bring whatever it is, whatever your attributes are, to that space. And then if you notice that you're not a fit, and maybe, again, like any nursing floor, you'll find that too. You'll find someone that's just, I don't know if this is your fit here. You know, if that's what it is, then start to kind of realize like maybe this isn't for me. And that's not failure. That's just you're finding out about yourself.
Discovery.
Yeah, discovery. Yeah. What a gift. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, good. I like that. So what would you say to the bedside nurse who's feeling burned out at the bedside and is considering going to become an NP to be the solution to their burnout?
Give her to me. Let me talk to her. Him or her. So one of the things that I've actually said on my podcast is I want to stop thinking about it from the element of running away from something. Mm-hmm. And what if we change the mindset? What are you running towards?
Yeah.
Right? So I think a lot of people talk about that. Like, well, I was a nurse running away to become a nurse practitioner. And I think that's the wrong way to say it. Really, what is it that you're running towards? Mm-hmm. Right? And I think that it could be, again, that work-life balance. So I kind of look at my career as dials, right? We have all these different dials and we've got, you know, an entrepreneurial dial. We have a creative dial. We have the work dial because we need to pay to live, right? So we need to make money. But you're not just one thing, right? You're a human being, not a human doing. And so what is it that when you're looking over your life in totality, are you about, right? So for that nurse that's like, I'm burned out. I'm running towards nurse practitioner to get out of this. Let's change it, because it might not be that you're running towards being a nurse practitioner. You might be trying to run towards something that you think is in the nurse practitioner role.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, that's wisdom, Sandra.
And so whenever you think is in the nurse practitioner role, you gotta flush that out. I think the nurse practitioner role is going to have better work-life balance. Well, maybe you can get that work-life balance as a nurse.
Right.
And you just need to, again, turn up the dials. Maybe you turned out, maybe you don't work 3-12s because you just, your nervous system can't handle it. And that's okay. You do two 12s. Mm-hmm. Maybe that looks like you might live someplace different. And yeah, you might be, you know, but again, you might be waking up to the birds instead of the alarm clock a little more often. And maybe that's okay for a while. Maybe while you're in this part-time role as an RN, you're now doing something else. Maybe you've always liked to do chess. I don't know, crocheting. I don't know. You might like real estate. You might like whatever it is. You can then start to focus in on that, right? And that will begin to create and kind of turn up those dials. And you might not find that you're that burned out at your job, mm-hmm, because you're like, actually, 2 days is a sweet spot for me. Mm-hmm. And I can go work on cars. I can actually make up the money because I enjoy tinkering around in a, you know, a motor. And that's what I enjoy doing. Like, whatever it is, you can then explore these, yeah, other things that really bring you joy. And I just think that the nursing career is so primed to allow you to turn that down a little bit. Most jobs, you have to do,
right,
40 hours. You, right, know what I'm saying? In order to be able to, you know, even keep the job. But because of nursing and because of how amazing it is and the options that it affords you, you can maybe turn that down and start to turn up other things, which now when you go into the workplace, you move and you work in such a way, you're working from overflow and not,
yeah,
burnout.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to spend $40,000 to $70,000 pursuing a doctoral degree in nursing that, trust me, has its own drawbacks and its, yeah, own things that can burn you out, I think, even quicker. Yeah. In the RN role in some ways.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to friends who have gone back, become an MP, and yes, they love their job, but now there is no cutting back on hours because they have to pay their student loans back.
Yes.
So they feel very trapped.
Yes.
Whereas as a bedside nurse, there's a lot of freedom. We're like, nope, don't feel like working next week. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take PTO. Like, yeah, there's just so much flexibility in the nursing role. And as an NP, there's a lot more, I mean, depending on where you work, expectations for you to show up and do things 5 days a week or whatever, mm-hmm, the thing is.
Yeah.
It is a little bit more difficult. So that's something to consider for sure. I love the analogy of the dials because not only is it like different dials based on what you're interested in, but also what season of life. Mm, you know, like there's been times in my life when I am like diving head first into the hospital. I'm on all the committees. I'm going to all the trainings. Like, this is great. And then, oh, got pregnant or maternity leave or someone I love is sick or, yes, I need to focus on, I'm going back to school. And I've been able to kind of turn those dials based on what's happening in my life. And nursing has afforded me that.
Yes.
You know, I've had times where I worked Monday through Friday. I've had times where I worked the weekends. I've had times where I was super involved at the hospital and times that I wasn't doing anything extra at the hospital. I was just focusing on my family.
Yeah.
And in my 20-year career, it's been up and down the whole time. Yes. And I could just turn those dials as needed. So
yeah,
that's, I really love that analogy.
Yeah. And I think we need to normalize that in nursing too.
Yeah.
That,
yeah,
there are seasons, especially, and again, I talk about this on my part-time podcast series because I really believe in part-time work for, mm-hmm, nurses as well as nurse practitioners. It's not as much as accepted for nurse practitioners, and it should be. And I really want to change conversations around that because I think that running a marathon is ups and downs. There's, mm-hmm, maybe miles you run a little faster and miles you might run a little slower. And, mm-hmm, I think that we as a healthcare field need to kind of give a little bit more space for people to go, I can't do this like this for this long. And that's,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That should be okay.
Yeah.
It should be welcomed. And I've talked actually to a woman came on my podcast. She talked about nursing sabbaticals, which I thought were so cool. And as she described it, I realized service industries in particular, ministers, you know, they
professors,
take,
yeah,
professors, they take sabbaticals to give themselves, yeah, time to think and to process. And that became also one of the things I've noticed is that when you give yourself a little bit of margin, you start to be astounded by what grows in those spaces. And, mm-hmm, so maybe you don't need to be a nurse practitioner. Maybe you just need some margins. So yeah, that's my answer to that question.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm the supervisor of the team of my team at the hospital. And I recently was doing evals for my staff.
Yeah.
And one of my nurses, she's like a high performer, always super involved in committees and projects and process change. I mean, she's like excellent. Well, she started NP school last year.
Yeah.
And so she had to kind of, I actually encouraged her back away from all these commitments so that you could focus on school. You got a lot going on. And at her eval, she was almost like, I didn't do as many things last year as I did the year before. I'm like, mm-hmm, girl, you are in NP school. that's my goal for this year. I'm not making goals like, I want you to join this committee and, you know, champion this project. Not this year. Mm-hmm. No, this year you're going to graduate. Yes. You're going to focus on school. Another time you can go back and be like super nurse, but this year, yeah, it's not the time. And that's, yeah, okay. You are not any lesser of an employee to me. Mm-hmm. Now you're focusing on something else and I support you 100% in that. And so that, maybe if you're listening and you're in that season of going back to school, give yourself some grace. You do not, mm-hmm, have to do all the things all the time. Agreed. There's a season for everything. All right. The other thing I want to touch on is the idea of like the timeline for when to go back to school, because there's so much debate about like, should nurse practitioners be allowed to practice if they haven't had time at the bedside? Should they have to have 2 years at the bedside, 5 years at the bedside? Like, what's the expectation? What makes for a good nurse practitioner? Do you have any thoughts having been a bedside nurse and now a nurse practitioner?
Yeah. So the nursing field is the nurse practitioner field just won U.S. World Report's best job. Number one healthcare job. So big. It's a big deal, right? We're like top of the list. Great career to pick.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing to think about. The second thing to think about is it's expected to grow 45% by the year 2032. Nurse practitioners.
Wow.
Okay. So that's one thing to be thinking about. Do I have an issue with nurses that from the get think, I don't really think I want to do bedside nursing. I think I want to be an NP. I don't have any problem with that. And let me tell you why. One, I think the ROI on the nurse practitioner role goes down because we require so much time by the bedside and then how much debt it requires into the program. Mm-hmm. PAs start making the equivalent income without having to work as a nurse, mm-hmm, right? And so I think you could do both. I think you can work as an RN and go right into school because you know what you want to do.
Yeah.
I don't believe in wasting a whole bunch of time. If you have that end in mind and you wake up on a Tuesday morning and you see yourself as an NP, I don't know why I need to make you waste 5 years of your life working as a nurse if you know you want to be an NP. So I don't agree with that. I think you can do both. Mm-hmm. I think my time as a nurse really helped me as an NP. And so I don't believe that it's necessarily wrong or right. I do believe it helped me create a better clinical picture. It gave me a lot of exposure to different things. And maybe that's what you need for a year or something just to get an idea of, mm-hmm, what you want to do. It may solidify, yep, definitely going to be an NP. I'm getting out of this. I want to do something else. I've always wanted to do it. And so I'm definitely moving in that space. Yeah. But I just don't think we do anybody a service by making them do something just to do it. Because she might be like not a good nurse. And so she might be a better nurse practitioner. And, mm-hmm, let's just let her do that, or, you know, he or she. So that would be my answer to that, that I don't think that you have to. I think you can do both. And if you don't want to be an RN, I don't think that you should be forced to be a nurse.
Right.
But I do think there's a lot of value in it. So I guess my answer is kind of nuanced, but I think there's a lot of value in being an RN.
Yeah.
And when I'm in that nurse practitioner role, there's nothing like what I call being empathetic, because you've been there.
Yeah.
And so when I'm on the floor and I'm working as an NP, I've been a nurse. So if you need me to go in there and do something or help, mm-hmm, or understand that you're overwhelmed, I know what that feels like.
Yeah.
Because I've felt it. So right. I think that empathy is just more real.
Yeah. There's so much value there.
Yeah.
You know, I get asked similar questions all the time. Should you be a CNA before you become a nurse? Should that be required? Required? No. But man, it's going to make you a better nurse. Yes, it will.
Yeah.
Because of the empathy factor, understanding the different roles within the team.
Yeah.
Yes, I think it makes you a better nurse. Should you have to work med surge before you specialize in ICU, ER? No, you should not have to. But will your transition to those specialties be easier if you had? Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've onboarded 50 plus nurses into the ER, and the ones that worked med surge first had an easier transition to that role than the ones that came straight out of nursing school.
Yeah. Right?
Makes sense.
Exactly.
So I don't think there's a you must, but you should know yourself enough to know how you want to dive headfirst into the NP role. Do you want to do it with the background, the exposure, the kind of the clout a little bit of being a bedside nurse first,
mm-hmm,
before you jump in? There's healthy benefits to it, but am I going to say you must? Yeah. No.
No, I agree.
So if you had to do it all over again, go back to being 18-year-old Sandra and you're like, you know, the shiny nurse practitioner role, would you do it differently?
I hate to live in regret. I hate to look back and think I didn't do something. I think that there is a power above us that directs our steps. Man plans, but God directs the steps. And, mm-hmm, so I tend to want to keep it kind of open-minded, right? So like, if I could Monday morning quarterback my life, right? What would I have done differently?
Mm-hmm.
I think that I would have spent more time listening to myself,
mm-hmm,
and I would have spent more time figuring out what it is that I wanted my life to look like and not been so head first into, I just need more degrees. If I have more degrees, then I'll have more freedom. Yeah. But the birth of my son and realizing that my new purpose in life was to spend time with my children and to be a present mom, realizing that I had achieved, you know, magnificent amount of studying and a great job that now I had to go back to in order to maintain a certain lifestyle was something that I was not prepared for. And so I would go back to that Sandra and tell her, hey, listen, life may look a little bit different from what you think it might, right, at this stage. So prepare yourself to be able to step back if you want to and do other things.
Yeah.
And so as you're moving as a nurse, I know you've got travel money nursed, so you can get those new sneaks, a fresh pair of figs. You can be looking super sweet. But again, just think about that maybe you might be in a different position, especially as a woman when you have children. And mm-hmm. so just to prepare yourself through the different avenues and the ways that you're nursing skills are so transferable into yeah. so many different things that you can work remotely. You can work in a clinic and be home before your kids are home. You know, mm-hmm. these are things that will be yeah. important to you. And so to maybe consider carving out some of that space as you move in your career and be thinking about those things down the road.
That's really good advice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of advice, could you tell my listeners about what you have to offer with Success NP and how you can support nurse practitioners on this yeah. journey?
Yeah. So again, like I said, I started realizing that I hadn't built anything for myself, that I had been working at what I'd like to call the altar of these huge medical institutions, right? One of my friends, Ron DiRico, he always says, when you start nursing in school, you think there's so much I can do. And then by the end of it, you think I can only work in the hospital. Right. And so it's just a very interesting transition that now at the end, I'm preaching there's so much you can do with your nursing degree that I kind of lost that in my mm-hmm. mind. And so what I created was a podcast where I just started having conversations with nurses, other nurses. And then that led to me creating some digital workbooks to help nurse practitioners in their transition from RN to NP. And so I created them with my best nursing friend. Actually, we were in our first nursing cohort together as little babies. And we created clinical workbooks that help in that transition with the Success NP label on them. And so they've been rave reviews. It's been really neat seeing how That's much awesome. It's been helping. And we have a podcast together and we just keep kind of that same theme of how do we help nurse practitioners be and look successful for them. And so, yeah, that's kind of the heart of what we're creating over there.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's like all the things that you wish someone would have given to you whenever you were on this journey. You're like, here's a podcast to show you all the different options there are for nurse practitioners. Yes. Here's a book to guide you to help you be successful yes. in this transition to this new role.
Yes.
So, yes, guys, if you are considering NP school, definitely check out this podcast. I think it's a really good start yeah. to help you like you said, do that soul searching and figure out what I really want to do and not just chase the title, but yes. like chase the role, the work-life balance, the vibe that you are shooting yes. for with your life
yes.
and not just like the letters behind your name for
yes.
sure.
Mm, that's so good. Yeah, that's so good. Yep.
So Sandra, if people wanted to find you, where could they find you?
You can find me anywhere that you listen to podcasts. You can find me on the World Wide Web, Instagram. I think we're The Success in Peace is what we officially turned it into. But yeah, you can find us there. And yeah, we're anywhere. Just type my name in, Sandra Pagenta, and it'll pull it right up. And
awesome.
Yeah.
And I will make all of the things in the show notes too to yeah. make it easy for you.
Yeah. Please reach out. If you're thinking about any of these things, if any of these things have resonated with you today, reach out because I want to talk to somebody, like anybody. I like put all this information out because I just think it's so valuable for your life.
Any closing thoughts, things that you want to make sure that my audience gets to hear?
No, just figure out what success looks like for you.
Okay.
And pursue that. And just do the best you can. That's it. That's all you can do for your life.
I love it. Yeah. Sandra, thank you so much for your time and sharing your heart with my audience.
This
I know
awesome.
So many nurses is going to be a really good starting point, like a launching pad for them yeah. to figure out where to go next. So
yeah.
thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Before you go, I just wanted to let you know that if you like this episode, you would probably like my course too. My 1-hour rapid response and rescue course is an introduction to how I approach emergencies. If you would like to learn to think, assess, and respond quickly when your patient is crashing, then you can check out my website, rapidresponseandrescue.com. And if you message me the word podcast on Instagram, I will send you a coupon code for $10 off the cost of the course. Oh, and did I mention that the course is approved by the AACN and worth one continuing education contact hour? So
If you want to level up your emergency response skills and get one CE in the process, then this course is what you want. I put the link in the show notes for you. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you learned something that will save a life. Remember, nursing is a team sport, so trust your intuition and don't give up advocating until you are confident you've done what's right by your patient. The views and opinions expressed on this show are that of Sarah Lorenzini and hers alone. They are not intended as medical advice and should not take the place of your institution's policies or procedures. Evidence-based practice is ever-changing, and your patient care should reflect the current best practice. If you want to get in contact with Sarah, you can find her at rapidresponseandrescue.com or on social media platforms as TheRapidResponseRN.